From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And if I may, let me read a letter or so that has buoyed me in terms of the support that comes into this ministry. Here's one. Dear Hank, I've listened to you off and on now for many years. I've reaped the benefit of your ministry during this time without supporting the work of the Christian Research Institute. I donated in May and again in the beginning of June. I'm writing this note in support of the ministry and sending another check because truth matters. I cannot continue growing and receiving biblical teaching from the Christian Research Institute without financially supporting this outreach. I became a monthly partner after hearing how many people stopped donating to CRI. This is not a feel-good ministry, but a ministry that preaches truth, correct understanding of the Bible backed by solid research. I believe your work of teaching the truth and understanding of the Bible, clarifying misconceptions, is so needed in this current era of political correctness. The movement in many churches from sound biblical teaching to watered-down Christianity, feel-good, one-size-fits-all ministry leaves a deep void for all who seek solid biblical understanding. I became fascinated by Osteen's message after my divorce. Moving back to Los Angeles, being unchurched, feeling like a loser and broke, I watched him on TV. I saw him with unbelieving friends at Yankee Stadium. Saw him again in 2012 at Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, with an unchurched childhood friend. My friend called him a rock star and is devoted to his ministry. After listening to Osteen on several occasions, I realized his message is not based on biblical truth, but presented in a distorted manner to tickle the soul and to turn a person from seeking God for answers to directing oneself for answers. My earnest desire is to be able to share with family, friends, and others the saving truth in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I sincerely appreciate all that you do to speak honestly, maybe painfully, regarding the Bible. Your ministry fills such a huge void in our society. Thank you for being a beacon of light in this dark time. I'm not wealthy, but I stand shoulder to shoulder in support of you and CRI. And then he says, can you guide me in making CRI part beneficiary of my small retirement? This is a letter that is so encouraging because here's a person that appreciates the ministry, is supporting this ministry, has been equipped by this ministry, and now is touching the lives of others. And that's precisely what we're seeking to do. So again, my thanks to Jay for the letter and to all of you that have supported this ministry and continue to do that prayerfully and financially. For those who join the Bible Answer Man support team, do remember, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Richard in Georgia listening on the web. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Regarding Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, where it talks about the leopard,
yeah,
which I believe is the third beast.
Yes.
And it says it has four heads. Now, I know you've talked about the third beast being Persia, if I remember correctly, and I'm just wondering what the four heads represent.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think Daniel 7:6 actually corresponds to Daniel 11:2. And this is one of the beauties in the book of Daniel. You are able to cross-reference and get a closer fix on what you're looking for. But the basic answer to the question, although I've written about this in some detail, the basic answer would be that the leopard represents the Median Empire. And the way I've explained this is prior to unification, Media and Persia are identified separately, the former as a bear and then the latter as a leopard.
I apologize. I had them backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Media and Persia. Okay.
Yeah. The former is a bear, the latter is a leopard. And in the third year of Belshazzar, the symbolism was altered in order to depict the unified Medo-Persian Empire as a singularity. And as such, Daniel sees one ram with two horns standing before the canal, and the horns are long, and one of the horns becomes longer than the other and grew up later and so forth. So Gabriel identifies the horns as Media and Persia, the former as an independent Median Empire and the latter, which grew up later and longer, as the dominant Persian Empire. Now, specifically to your question, the four heads, I think, represent Cyrus, who unified the two empires to begin with. And I give you all the color commentary again in my book, Has God Spoken? And his three successors, the famous Cambyses and Darius the First and Xerxes.
Okay, okay. Great. Well, that makes sense. I figured it had to do with the four kings, but I was just wondering which ones you were thinking they were. So that helps very much. Thank you so much, Hank. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. And by the way, this is not unusual, because the four horns that emerge after the death of Alexander the Great also symbolize four generals. And these are all fairly dominant and easily identified in history. But I give the color commentary and all the details in my book, Has God Spoken? Back to the phone lines. Matt next in Washington, D.C. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. Good talking to you.
Great. I was calling, for a couple of things, actually. So I go to Plain Bible Church in Virginia. Do you know that church?
I don't, no.
Okay, it's kind of like a your mega church. Speaking of like problems and whatnot, I am a teacher, so I didn't have enough money to get to the summer off. And I asked them for help. I asked quite a bit, $4,000, but they turned me down. So I know this past year they had about a $4 million surplus. So I guess my first question would be, should I continue going to a church like that don't really help people that's in need, or give to a church like that? And then my second question was about God and heaven and hell. We go through life and God knows the future of everything that's happening. Why does he just go through, a life of suffering like this, you know, to end up going to heaven or hell anyways? Like, it seems like it'd be easier to have a door and say, okay, choose this option or choose this option. And you could just make a simple decision like that rather than going through a whole lifetime of, things. So I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, suffering, though, is not gratuitous, nor is any moment of life on this earth gratuitous. It all has transcendent meaning, not only in shaping us to be servants of the Lord in this world, but also shaping us for the world to come. And God creates us in such a way that we are able to actualize our choices and have those choices actualized for all eternity. What we do now counts. So it's not a matter of our lives being meaningless. Why even go through them? No, every moment of our life has meaning. And even the difficult circumstances of life are used by God in some way for his greater good and glory. When you go through suffering, when you go through a lack financially, all of these things shape us in some way. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who said, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermon's with me." The result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things and are poured out in new and better fashion. And then he said, oh, we might almost wish for the melting so that we might be made more like unto our Lord. So through the cauldron of adversity, we're shaped into choice vessels for the service of the King.
Okay.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And, I just want to thank you, too, for, you know, doing the truth. It seems like there's a drought when it comes to truth. And, I would ask, I guess, all your listeners, if they do have the financial ability to help you out, to be able to make your budgets and stay on the air, they should do that. Because we need as many people speaking the truth today as possible. So, anyway, I just want to thank you for everything.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. Those are very, very kind words. We'll be right back.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rosemary in Alvin, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You have impacted and inspired me in a huge way. Thank you and your staff for what y'all do, and I will continue to support your ministry, and may God bless you in so many ways.
Thank you.
My question, I've been watching the news, and I'm seeing more and more news on UFOs and what one would consider extraterrestrial life. Do you believe in such thing? And if so, do you consider them to be fallen angels?
Well, no, I don't consider them to be fallen angels. Fallen angels do not have physicality, and therefore they cannot manifest. Now, angels can manifest by God's creative prowess, and that has happened in biblical times. But fallen angels never manifest. They don't have the wherewithal to create bodies or to create physicality, and therefore they cannot manifest in the physical world. But I would say further that hard evidence on UFOs is, well, hard to come by. 80% or more can be attributed to natural causes. And the message that you usually get from these extraterrestrials as they're being showcased in various forums, television and movies and so forth, is that if we don't accelerate our technological and our spiritual evolution, we will not be able to avert global catastrophe. And the spokespersons for these ETs are typically New Agers and occultists. So that should give you a bit of a warning right there. But having said all of that, I don't deny the possibility, nor does the Bible deny the possibility. I just don't see any hard evidence for it.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome.
And it's kind of a two-part question, so I apologize in advance. But the first part of the question is, how much background information about Jesus does someone need to be given in order to share the gospel with them, namely in the United States? And then the second part to that question is, how much information is essential to preaching the gospel to someone based on what is said in Romans 1:1-7.
Yeah, it's really interesting if you just look at Romans in blocks, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, and Romans chapter 3. You see, first of all, in Romans chapter 1, that we have the light of creation, which preaches to us. For much like David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. This is general revelation where the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And when you see it, you intuitively know without hearing a word that there is a God and that he is majestic and has left his imprimatur in the universe that he has made. And then when you get to Romans chapter 2, you see that God has also written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of your consciousness. Now, the point is, if you respond to the light you've been given, the external light and the internal light, then you will receive the light of Christ, who will reveal himself to you as he wills ever more fully. Which is to say, the Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So as I've said on this broadcast, and this is not original with me, God dwells in enough darkness so that if you want obscurity, if you don't want to see him, you're not going to see him, but in enough light that if you want to find him, you will most certainly find him, which made it make a whole lot of sense when Jesus said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light. In terms of what you need to know, you know that God created the universe. You know that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and that you know that God has a purpose for you, and he begins to reveal that purpose to you. He does that through normal means, but he can do it through unusual means as well. The normative way that God reveals himself to us is through his word and through those who are arbiters of his word or ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And they can explain to us, first of all, the mother of all questions, who do you say that I am? Because when you say, I want to follow Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference who that Jesus Christ is. If he's an avatar or a messenger, a whole lot different than if he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So you want to know who that Jesus is that you're following. When you recognize that he is the one who created you, the one who created the universe, then you want to follow his principles and precepts. And that's a gradual, ongoing process for each one of us. The more you know about him, the more there is to know. You can never exhaust that reality. So we're all on stages of knowing him at various levels, and even in eternity, we will continue that trek.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, and part of what I've been wrestling with is churches that perform a quote-unquote altar call where they ask people to raise their hands, and then the church is more or less professing these people to have been saved. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:2 that it's by the gospel in which we've been saved, and Paul talks more about it in Romans 1. But he says, you know, through the Holy Scriptures regarding the Son of earthly life, who was a descendant of David. And I wondered if the people that were in Jesus' day when he was walking the earth, most of those people are already understood the coming Messiah and at least what they've expected him and the Jewish history that went along with that, whereas in our country today, most people have heard of Jesus, but they don't necessarily understand that Jewish history and why it was important that the prophecies that were given about Jesus ahead of time. So do we need to explain any of that, in your opinion, to be able to share the gospel? Because I've heard the gospel preached directly out of Romans 1:1-7.
Well, I think it's extraordinarily helpful to know that Jesus is the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy so that you know of a surety that he is who he says he is. So he left no doubt about this through his ancestry, through his birth in Bethlehem, the circumstances surrounding his life and his death, the date of his visitation, the fact that he was an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he became the one to fulfill the law and the prophets, that he was not only a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he was a light to the Gentiles, and all that and more. But, you know, I think the real issue is, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? And that is not, and you're making a great point. It's not just about, well, you raised your hand and now there's this giant computer in the sky, and in that computer, the check mark goes behind your name. You raised your hand. That's not what it is. It's not just giving verbal assent to logical truth propositions. It is wanting with all your heart, every fiber of your being, to be a participant in his kingdom, a follower of Jesus Christ, which means taking up your cross and daily following him. So the idea is not just verbal assent, as though there's some magic wand that is waved somewhere, but rather those that desire to follow Jesus Christ. And you have to know who Jesus is. Who's going to follow someone if you don't know who they are? It's stupid to follow them. And certainly that would be the case with Jesus Christ. That does not entail exhaustive knowledge. And certainly as I've traveled the world, I've seen people in rural areas who didn't know much about the Word of God, but did know the author. You could tell that there was an intimacy of relationship. So they had this visceral relationship with God, but all the while wanting to learn more and more about him. So when you show up with the good news and more information, they're all ears.
Right. I appreciate you elaborating on that. I appreciate you taking my question. And also, hopefully for any listeners, I pray that people are praying for the churches in our nation that we are really elaborating on the full gospel and not just assuming that people are getting saved, that we're really putting in the work to help these people reach Christ. So again, thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ray, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Hank. I got a question about demons. Are demons fallen angels? And if not, how did they come into existence?
No, demons are fallen angels. I mean, God created angels, and those that followed Lucifer in his fall are demons. So fallen angels and demons are equivalent.
And they had free will to follow Lucifer.
They did, and they were actualized in their choice to follow Lucifer. That's correct.
Could they be redeemed?
No, because they had requisite knowledge and they chose to follow Satan as opposed to follow the Lord. There's nothing within them that would want to turn to Christ. They hate everything and everything that has to do with his kingdom.
But they know he exists. They believe.
Not only believe, but they shudder. And the point there is, you say you believe, says James, even the demons say that and shudder. Belief is not the full essence of salvation. To have true saving faith not only means that you know about Jesus Christ, that you agree that he's Savior and Lord, but that you trust in him. The demons know about Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They agree that he spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, but they're not trusting him for anything. So true saving faith entails knowledge, assent, and trust, all three of those components. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences, as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.